Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Arc City. It's a new season. You might have noticed we've now partnered with Ski Racing Media, but don't worry. I'm not selling out here. I'm still doing the same old thing. I'm, you know, writing, editing, producing the podcast. But it is exciting to work with Ski Racing Media and to utilize their audience to reach more people. So we're excited. We've got more catching up to do, but we can do that after the interview. Plus, I have a whole bunch of ski racing headlines. We'll do that in lieu of the history nugget this week. First, I will send you right into my amazing interview at Alice Robinson's home in New Zealand with the one and only World Cup winner, two-time Olympian, Alice Robinson. Alice Robinson, welcome to Arc City.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Have you heard, have you listened to any episodes?
I'm really sorry, but I haven't listened to any episodes.
have you heard the intro?
No.
Oh my God. You have to hear the intro.
Okay, let's hear the intro.
Cause it'll probably give you an idea of just kind of what the podcast is all about. Let me pull it up here. Arc City. For everyone listening, I'm just typing in Arc City on any, platform that host podcasts.
Top 2%
of all Apple podcasts.
Okay,
here we go. And we are back and live. I'm Jimmy Krupka, and welcome to Arc City.
To it.
How's that?
I'm into it. I was getting like PTSD at the start of it.
Relaxed. Right? Like those beeps for a ski racer are like, they like raise your heart rate, huh?
Yeah, I was like, oh, jump scare.
Yeah. Do you think like in 50 years down the line, you'll like, you could hear those race beeps and be like, oh my God, that brings me back.
Oh, for sure. I think that sounds always going to give me flashbacks.
Yeah. So let's start at the beginning. You were 16, like when you did your, I was looking at your Wikipedia page.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, whoever writes it needs to update the next couple of seasons because they stopped at 2020. But the first year that you skied FIS, it was like win, like World Cup start, right? Mm-hmm. You started your first World Cup in January of your first, like,
yes.
Full winter.
Yeah.
Was that like crazy, like this whole whirlwind, or were you just kind of like, yeah, this is about right?
I think, yeah, it was for sure crazy. I think especially when you're from like New Zealand, like you're not really exposed to that world very much, like growing up. Like I didn't really, that was like my third time going to Europe like ever when I was going over to that World Cup. So it was pretty crazy. Yeah. And I think, yeah, it's just a different world, I suppose. Like everyone knows that. Like when you step up from just from like kids races to like doing FIS races and then obviously going to like World Cup overseas in Europe is like another whole thing again. But I think also when you're kind of young, you're just a little bit along for the ride.
Yeah.
And you're kind of just like, oh, okay, like, oh, this is all new and exciting and cool. But for sure it was like a bit of a whirlwind. But I was also pretty like, I think when I was that age, I was so like motivated to just, you know, go out and do it and felt like I had, you know, stuff to prove and things. So I think I was kind of like into it at the same time, but also like nervous, of course.
Yeah, like I think some people, like I feel like I'm one of those people where I get some success and I was like, oh, that's exciting. And then I kind of pause. But it feels like your ascent was the kind of thing where you won a race. You're like, oh, let's do more.
Mm-hmm.
And so was there a point at which like suddenly that like crazy vertical improvement like came to a stop, or where you were like, whoa, this is overwhelming?
Yeah, like in my World Cup career.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think kind of when I once sold it, I was like, you know, 17.
First World Cup win. Yeah.
Yeah. Like 17. And like, I literally was kind of doing skiing, kind of just felt like, oh, this is like what I'm doing. Like, you know, but I've got like a whole nother life as well, you know, because I was still in high school. And so like after I once sold and I like flew back to New Zealand to like graduate high school and had like my like last week of school with all my mates and stuff. So it was kind of like, I was like, oh, that was kind of easy.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, this like didn't take very long, but I think you then quickly realize, and then I had another World Cup win that year, but I think after that I struggled like a lot and like still, you know, I'm still kind of struggling to like get back to winning races. And I think it's like easy to win one, but then it's like reproducing it is when it's like gets tough. And yeah. also, you know, it's been kind of a crazy few years, like, because I kind of had that really good season, then COVID happened, and then it was kind of like, whoa, the world's changed a lot, especially with like someone being from like down here with what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it pretty locked down for COVID here?
Yeah, we had like, I think the first one was like 6 weeks, so it wasn't even that bad, but like they just shut the borders completely, so no one can get in or out. So kind of that year I was like not really sure what I was gonna be doing. I didn't, you know, I knew COVID was gonna happen. I kind of just decided, and I was like 18 at the time, that I was going over to Europe by myself and like leaving all my family and stuff. And I went over there for like 10 months I think on my own.
Oh, that's family. Right. Yeah. So your seconds, so you won in 2019 2020 season.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the following season, like, or COVID happened at the end of that year. Mm-hmm. The following season you went over, but you won races at the end of that 2020-2021 season.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, was there, did you feel like suddenly everyone was like expecting you to win? Is that something that was hard to deal with? Like the expectations, mm-hmm. like sponsorships? I don't know if there's like one thing that, there's a lot of things obviously, but I don't know if there's like one thing where you're like, oh, like that was really hard to deal with. And nothing could have like really prepared me for that part of success, I guess.
Yeah, I think I like feel like a lot of outside pressure from people. Like I know like some people like, oh, I don't care what like anyone thinks, but I like care a lot. Especially, you know, like you've got,
it's hard not to care what people think.
I know, it's like, it's hard not to care what people think. And also I think you know, I want to do like the best for everyone around me. And sometimes I feel like I'm trying so hard that I'm putting like way too much pressure on myself to like make everyone happy and to like make myself happy. I put so much pressure on myself, and I think that's really tough. And then obviously it's hard to ignore like, you know, outside factors like sponsorship and you know, feeling like this big expectation. I think winning so young also throws you in super early, like, oh, like, you know, you can win. As I like, when I won when I was really young, I think I didn't care, like I didn't have like expectations on me. You can kind of just go out and like just do your thing, and you know, if you crash or if you win, like your life doesn't really change that much. But I think when you get like older and there's more expectations and more people like putting pressure on you, you start to, those things start to like affect you a bit more for sure.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. When it's it kind of in the beginning was more less of a job, and now it's like your job and your life and everything, and there's lots of people that are watching. And but when you it also feels like you can pull like the people that you want to do well for that are maybe disappointed if you don't do well, it's also probably like a nice motivation, like, oh, I want to do well for the people who are rooting for me. Or like, I don't know if New Zealand pride is like, like it feels like everyone is really proud of like Alice Robinson on the World Cup because she's from our tiny country of New Zealand. I don't know if there's like positives in having all these people watching you and rooting for you.
Yeah, no, I think it's really cool. And I think, you know, now I think I'm starting to appreciate it more. Like, I think when you're younger, you're kind of like, oh, like, I just don't really want any, I like didn't really want anyone paying attention. And I was quite happy, like, coming back to New Zealand, like, because initially, like, no one really, people, there's a lot more people that follow it now. Like, initially when it's, like, I started doing well, like, no one really was that bothered, and I quite liked that. Like, I loved how I could, like, after Solden, like, literally none of my friends even, like, knew what, like, the World Cup was. I, like, came back, and this, like, I think the principal of the school, like, he kind of, like, knew a bit about ski racing, and he was, like, acknowledged it at, like, assembly or something. Everyone's like, yeah, cool, like, when's the party for grad? Like, but I remember, like, I came back and, like, the boys all did, like, a haka, which was really cool. But, like, none of my friends, like, I don't know, like, I didn't really talk about ski racing with, like, any of my friends at school. Like, I'd just come back and they'd be like, oh, good job in the race, like, yeah, whatever. And then we'd just be like, okay, like, what's next, you know, like, talk about other stuff. So I really enjoyed kind of being like, I didn't really like getting much like attention here.
Yeah.
But I think now as I'm getting older, it's cool to kind of see like the effects that it has in like a positive way. Like, you know, seeing how many kids are like getting into ski racing and like all those clubs now are like maxed out capacity.
Oh, is it? Has there been like the Alice Robinson effect?
Oh, I don't know. I'm like, maybe I should take some claim, but who knows? I mean, it's just.
But like, but there has been an increase in skiers like at Coronet Peak.
Yeah, like I'm not sure about like public skiers. I think there's just been like an increase in like interest in like snow sports and ski racing.
Yeah.
And not just from me, but like from other like snow sports athletes, not in ski racing, but in other events as well. That has kind of just brought, and that, you know, all of us doing well, like, brings up the profile for the whole, like, snow sports category, yeah, which is really cool. So it's, like, cool seeing now that I'm getting older, I'm starting to appreciate kind of the effect it can have on positively on other people.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, I think that skiing and snow sports is, like, such a, like, it's fun for young kids, which is great, too. But I also think that it's, like, a really good way to learn, I don't know, I sound like a parent saying this, but, like, learn about life and, like, learn
discipline.
How to work hard and discipline and all this stuff, like, facing
commitment.
Your fears. Do you feel like, a lot of ski racers I talk to are, like, I was, like, always taking risks as a kid, or I needed some outlet for, like, all of my crazy amounts of energy. Did you feel like that? You're like, thank God I had ski racing, or else, yeah, I would have, like, had nothing to put all that energy into, or all that sendiness, I guess,
yeah,
you could call it.
I think for sure. I think my parents just thought I was, like, the biggest menace, because apparently when I was a kid, I was just always coming home from school, or, like, when I was even, like, a toddler, like, when I was, like, 5 or whatever, I was, like, always had, like, just cuts all over me and, like, bruises and, like, eggs on my head from just doing stupid stuff and, like, coming home and just was, like, they're, like, oh, my God, like, what are we going to do with this child? And, like, I used to play all these other sports as well. And I'd always get, like, yellow cards.
Oh, really?
In all the sports for, like, going too hard and getting, I was just so competitive. Like, I, yeah, get so fired up, and they're like, oh, my God, like, what are we going to do with this girl? And the ski racing, I thought, was just, like, the best outlet. And I was really lucky that I had, like, a really good group of friends,
yeah,
who were doing it too. And we all, like, were super competitive, and we'd just egg each other on to, like, you know, try, like, who's going to go the fastest into that, or who's going to, like, tuck from there to there or whatever. But I think for sure I was, like, definitely needed an outlet for, like, a bit of that.
Yeah, that's really cool. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Looking at Coronet Peak and skiing here, it's interesting because in one way I'm like, how can a ski racer as good as yourself, like, come from a place that it has winter? Like, you guys have snow basically from, like, what, end of June,
mm-hmm,
to, like, maybe end of September,
yeah,
which is a lot shorter than, like, the Colorado season, for example. So there's that, but also I've noticed that like every mountain in New Zealand is, not every mountain, but, like, Coronet Peak is steep.
Yeah,
like, there's not really any flats on Coronet Peak, so,
yeah,
like, it has, like, that effect of, like, it's similar to, like, Tahoe, where all these great skiers come from Tahoe, because just, like, everything on the mountain is challenging,
mm-hmm,
and there's so much terrain in Coronet Peak.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know if I have a question coming here, but, like, in one way I'm like, oh, it's not surprising that a great skier came here, but also in one way, like, there's a huge challenge of, like, having such a short winter, huh?
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I think, yeah. And I always joke that, like, it's the most random thing that I ended up being, like, a ski racer. Like, it was not how it should have gone, because, like, my parents weren't big skiers at all.
Oh, really?
No, they've, like, my dad grew up in Brisbane, where it's, like, 20 degrees Celsius average, like, yearly temperature.
Yeah.
And my mum's from, like, a farm, so, like, they didn't ski till they were, like, in their 20s. And then we moved here, they just, like, put us in ski school for fun, and then I was like, oh, I just want to do it.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, it just, like, happened. But, yeah, it's, like, that's the thing, a big challenge is, like, the shorter winters, for sure. So you kind of, if you want to stay, like, getting the same mileage as other kids the same age, then you have to go, like, overseas. And, like, that's what I did. Like, I went to the US when I was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you start going to the US for your summers there, winters?
I think I, like, went to what's called Palisades now when I was, like, 8, 9, but it was more of, like, a family holiday,
huh,
kind of thing. Like, the whole family went, and it was just for, like, 3 weeks or something. And there was, like, a bit of a connection between, like, the ski club here. Like, a lot of kids from there came here, like, in the winter. And then we went over there. So there was, like, a crew of us from the ski club who all went over there, because it was, like, easy, because it's, like, one flight,
yeah, yeah,
to, like, on the West Coast. So I think that's what you kind of have to do if you really want to, like, stay competitive. But I think also there's not many places where you're a kid and you're, like, growing up training next to, like, world-class skiers as well. Like, when we were kids, like, when I was, like, 9 or whatever, I was, like, training next to, like, Lindsay.
Oh, because they would all come down,
here and train. So I think you kind of get a little bit of that exposure that maybe you don't get if you were from, like, a normal ski club overseas, which I think was quite cool and, like, motivating as a youngster to have, like, that happening around and seeing the dynamics of, like, how the world's best, like, were going.
Yeah, that's so cool, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the effect. Like, I would have, like, a Cannon Mountain when I was really young. I would ski there, and there would be, like, high school races going on. And now, like, I realized that high school racing is not really the pinnacle of racing, but to me it was.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I just think high school races were like where it was at with like peak competitiveness.
Yeah. But then like to have World Cup skiers around you when you're 9, like that's got to be like probably inspiring and like just educational. Like, oh, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
Do you like remember any specifics? Was like Lindsey Vonn like?
I remember,
you, like, vividly remember
when I like started ski racing. I knew like nothing about it, like literally nothing. I only started because, well, I did really like skiing, but I like was just desperate for a race suit. I was like just really one of them. That's like literally why I started, because I saw these kids and I was like, oh my god, like I need that. And I was like doing this holiday program with the ski club for like a couple of years, just like on like 2 weeks in the year. So I like asked my parents if I could join, and they were like, oh, okay, like why not, I suppose, like wonder where this will go. And then I remember we were like free skiing one day and the coaches were asking us like, who did everyone see at training today? And they were like, oh, like Lindsey Vonn and Julie Mancuso. And I was like, who are they? Like, I was like, didn't know who like any ski racers were. And then I think I went home that night and like went on YouTube and like Googled it, and I was like, oh my god, like, oh my god, they're up on the mountain.
I was curious about like I did well in a race and I got like a lot of DMs like saying, oh, congrats, you know. And I was like, wow, like I wonder, like that was like some random race in New Zealand. I wonder like how many DMs you get from just random people. Like when you won that World Cup, was it insane?
Yeah, I think when I won Solden, it was so wild, because I was like, I think I had a podium the year before, so I was kind of known, but not that known. I remember I got like 30,000 followers that day.
Like the day you won the race?
Yeah, like the day. It was wild, like literally so wild. I had all these messages, so obviously I like, couldn't read them all. But yeah, that was like peak, like wow, like hype, because it's like Solden, so it's the first race of the year. So people are like paying a lot more attention than they do to a lot of other races as well.
Yeah.
But I remember that, yeah, that race, I got so many messages. I was like, oh my God, this is like insane.
Do you remember any like crazy ones from like someone that you were like a fan of, like a famous person or something?
I think I was like pretty fangirly when like Lindsay like posted for me on her Instagram after I won.
Cool.
She like did a post like, oh my god, like so cool, like New Zealand just won Solden. And I was like, oh my god.
That's cool. Yeah.
But I can't remember if I got any from like other randoms. I remember it was a bit of like a dark day in New Zealand because the All Blacks like lost the semi-final to the World Cup like
the same
day.
Oh.
So like that was like the front paper news, not like
you
me winning Solden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember any like crazy ones where you're like, whoa, there's some crazy people out there DMing me?
Oh, I've had some like pretty rogue DMs before. But I don't know if I should repeat.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, I kind of keep it like kind of PG-13 because kids listen to this too. Yeah. Because I'm asking partly because some guy came into my DMs and was like, hey, like listed all, like name dropped a couple World Cup ski racers who I won't repeat, but is like, I helped all these people.
I fully know who you're talking about. He fucking
you're good.
He DMs me all the time, and if I have a good run, he like says, oh my god, you listened to me, like you did what I said. If I had a bad run, he's like, you should have listened to me. Like you didn't do what I told you.
He told me that he could coach me to top 20 on the World Cup.
I've had a bunch of ski races. Who was it? Oh, Luke Winters messaged me and said, like, is this, do you actually work with this dude? And I was like, no, like this guy's crazy.
This message is you. Yeah. Because I've had that, and now that's I'm like, wow, there's stuff like that, you know.
Oh,
just,
yeah,
just
there's
funny.
Some creatures out there for sure.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, that guy, yeah, so old. Anyway.
Anyway, so you were on vocal, and then you switched to Solomon. What was that like changing from one brand to the other? Because I just switched for the first time ever in my career.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the first time you switched.
Yeah, first time for me too.
And like, was it a hard decision? And like, I don't know, talk to me about equipment, I guess.
Yeah, it was pretty tough. I mean, I'd been on vocal for a long time. And I just kind of, you know, I was doing some different things in my career and just kind of felt like I needed to change. I was starting to ski a lot more speed, and there wasn't really a big like speed program with vocal.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of wanted to just change it up, and I wanted to try new things. And so, yeah, Solomon came, and they were just super, super keen to get on board and were like willing to like do whatever it, like, you know, took, and willing to develop a lot of stuff. And I was just, yeah, super interested, and they were getting a bunch of people on board. And I found, you know, as soon as I switched, like, for the speed stuff, like, super good, like, was, you know, found it really comfortable. And then definitely was a challenge changing my GS setup, because obviously I had won races on my vocal setup and had done really well. So obviously it was for it just to initially step onto another pair and be winning races was never going to be easy, but I did find that kind of challenging. But I think their support's been amazing, and they're really willing to, like, make changes and try, like, a lot of stuff, which is really cool. Uh-huh. And yeah, just the support. And I really like, you know, my new serviceman with Solomon's been great. And but yeah, it's definitely not an easy process to switch equipment, especially when you've been on the same thing for so long.
Yeah. And you've kind of learned to ski a certain style for
exactly,
that equipment.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes, like, things that you were really strong on your, like, old equipment, all of a sudden you're, like, struggle with, and then things that you weren't good on in your previous equipment, now all of a sudden you're really good at on the new stuff. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I always ask people this, like, I asked Dave riding this. I sometimes go down the mental wormhole of, like, being like, is it me or this or the equipment, or like, what can I change my equipment to make it better?
Yeah.
And some people in ski racing are so good at that, of being like, oh, I just need to tweak this on my boots and I'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes I feel like I'm like, it's the equipment, and then it's just my skiing, or I'm like, it's just my skiing, and then, like, something was seriously wrong with my equipment. Have you ever had any of those, like, or do you think you're pretty good at keeping it balanced and working through?
I think it depends. I think sometimes I'm, like, super patient. I'm like, no, it's, you know, it's just me. And then other times I'm like, nah, there's something definitely wrong. There's no way I could be skiing.
But has there been something wrong before? Like, your base bevel's messed up, or like, your edges not right or something?
I think probably the only thing is sometimes maybe it was, like, icier than I thought it was going to be, and maybe the skis weren't slightly sharp enough. But that's probably about it. Other stuff was just kind of could be, like, a build up of, like, oh, I've been trying this for, like, weeks and it's, like, not working. Like, there must be something that's not right.
Yeah.
In, like, the setup or whatever. I think you try it. You got to, like, look at yourself first.
Then, you know, I think that's the right
look
answer.
Look at the mirror first and be like, okay, you're being honest with yourself. Like, is it really you or is it the equipment?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's probably right. And so now you're on Solomon. You're doing more speed than you were doing at the beginning of your career. And you mentioned how, like, it's kind of been a bit of a struggle still, because you won early, but you're not necessarily continuing to just keep winning. You said it kind of weighed on you. Does it weigh on you that, like, you're like, I need that win? Or are you kind of like, I'm happy competing. A win would be nice, but I don't, like, need it.
Oh, no, it definitely weighs on me. I'm like, I think when you do so well as a youngster, like, you kind of get expected that there's, like, a certain, like, pathway that, oh, you did well then, so, like, you should be, like, winning everything now.
Yeah.
But I think that it's also, you got to look at, like, oh, you know, everyone's got, like, different journeys in the sport and, like, goes through, like, you know, different things, and there's so many things that no one knows about and, like, what shapes, you know, people's journeys and stuff. So I think there's that as well. But for sure, I want to get, like, back to, you know, winning races for sure. But I am enjoying, you know, competing, but at the end of the day, I'm super competitive. So,
yeah.
You know, obviously everyone wants to win, but that's the other thing. You know, everyone's working super hard and everyone wants to win. So that's just, I have to keep working.
Yeah. Does it ever, like, has the definition of, like, has your competitiveness changed? Like, has it, and your motivation changed, I guess? Like, when you were younger, were you hungry for a different reason? Or do you think you kind of have that same why? Because I guess, like, when I'm realizing now, talking to lots of ski racers, like, at the highest levels, is that when you're young, it's different from when you're older, because, like, when you're older, you've been doing this damn sport for so long, and you're like, this sport can be miserable sometimes, and you kind of need to change up your motivation.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think definitely. I think when I was younger, like, I was so motivated to, like, because being from, like, you know, like, New Zealand, I was like, oh, I just really want to, like, prove myself. And I think, you know, now I've won races, but it's also like, yeah, when you get to this age, and you, well, I'm like 21, but I've still been doing this I've been doing it for a while. But
at my age.
Yeah, by a ripe old age.
I kind of forget that. You're only 21. Yeah.
You know, I'm like, but I've been doing it for a while, and I think I've kind of learned, like, you can only, like, smash your head against a brick wall so many times. And, like, if you're just, like, looking at results, like, all the time, it can be really painful. So I think you've got to look at, like, it sounds like cliche, it's like taking like, you know, smaller wins sometimes, you know, like, okay.
No,
like,
cliches are
yeah,
real though.
Yeah, if it's yeah. real. Like, oh, okay, this is, I had a really good day training, I figured stuff out, or oh, okay, I didn't win the race, but you know, like I was really proud of like, you know, what I executed in the second run or something. Cause I had a lot of like, last year I had a lot of like first runs and I was like 20th or something, and then like had a really good second run and like ended up 7th or whatever. So I was like, okay, you did really well in the second run. And I think, you know, trying to find like enjoyment in like the journey, not too cliche again.
That was a nice like, American accent yeah, there.
The journey. But no, actually, but you know, enjoying like the process of like, okay, I'm like enjoying the training, enjoying all the traveling, enjoying like what you're doing and everything as well. I think it's really important. Because otherwise, you know, because I found that's when I've always had my most successes, not being so like results orientated. I've always found that like, when I've been more focused on, you know, just doing what I can do and not thinking about results, that's when I've always had my best results. So, yeah.
It happens to me sometimes too. Yeah. Definitely. It's so hard though.
It's really tough. Yeah.
Really hard.
Easier said than done.
Yeah. So I'm very curious about this. There's no summer in your life, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's winter here in the Northern Hemisphere summer, and then the instant that it's over, you're kind of over in Europe, and it's their winter.
Like, yeah.
Do you ever miss summer?
I miss it so much. I do. I really miss it. But also, I've been doing this for so long, I can't really know any better.
Yeah.
At the same time. And I'm also like, I think I get like so sunburnt that if I was like in the summer, I'd probably just... no, I do miss it a lot, and I miss like certain things, like growing up on the side of the world. Like I really miss having like Christmas in the summer, like having like big family Christmas and you're like outside all day and like playing games and stuff. Like I miss that compared to like the winters when you're sitting inside. Like,
and you're
overseas.
Like, you're always in Europe for Christmas these days, right?
Yeah.
Cause like, it's such a crazy trek to get home. You don't come home during the winter, huh? You go over.
No,
and
I don't come home. It's too hard. Cause I mean, I race like nearly three disciplines, like pretty much. So it's like nearly every weekend that I'm competing.
I think was it you that I was talking to about like a general consensus, what ski racers would say if you could change like one thing in the sport. And everyone always seems to be like, yeah, more time over Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if it was me, but I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think it was you. Yeah.
I would like, if I could change one thing in the calendar, it'd be like, okay, good. Like 2 weeks off for Christmas.
Yeah.
Like no races. So I could actually go home. That would be the best.
It would be nice. Yeah. Is there something you do when you're over in Europe to give yourself a sense of home? Like when I go, I listen to, I like play way too much country music. I'm not really like a huge country music guy, but like, I feel like I go over to Europe and I like start telling people about my truck and I listen to the country music. I'm like, this isn't who I am back in the US, but it just makes me feel like home.
Just get up pictures like, have you seen my truck?
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not that guy, but in Europe, I need to feel a little American.
You listen to this song before? What do? I think I'm probably similar. I probably listen to some like really classic like Australian, New Zealand tunes that like reminds me of like my family and like all of us listening to it and stuff like that. I probably just like FaceTime my family too much and just do a lot of that. And I'm lucky, like last year my family's over there, but like the other Christmases, like they haven't been, like the COVID years, they weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
I just tried to like, I remember there was like a bunch of us that like were like stranded and we just tried to do like an orphan like Christmas. And I tried to like make some food that we would have in like a Christmas here, because in Italy they're like talking about eating pasta on Christmas. I was like, that's criminal. I was like,
criminal.
No, that's criminal. Like, I'm not eating pasta on New Year's Eve for Christmas.
Yeah. And then another thing I wanted to talk to you about was like Red Bull. It's like a very sought after head sponsor for most extreme sports athletes, and they have such a huge presence that everyone's like, oh, the Red Bull hat. Are there cool resources that I guess you can't really say there's not cool resources because like you're sponsored by them.
Yeah.
But like what are the cool resources that they give you, and like, is it like really beneficial to be on Red Bull?
Yeah. I think it's, obviously I'm super grateful and lucky to like be with Red Bull.
You're good.
Also, being from like New Zealand, we don't have like that infrastructure, especially like in Europe, for, you know, facilities for like, you know, training and rehab and physio and stuff like that. And like one of the facilities Red Bull has is like the like APC, like the Athlete Performance Center, in Austria, which has like got training, like physical testing, physio, all of that stuff. So we can like go there during the year if I needed to, if I was like had injured myself or something, I could go there and get it checked out properly. Or if I wanted to go do like a 4-day like dry land block, I could just like rock up there and that would help me. And they've been helping me a lot with my like fitness, like helping me with my programming for my dry land training. So it's super, yeah, they're very supportive and they do have a lot of really epic resources, which is cool for like us from New Zealand. It's not like a European's like, oh, like I've hurt myself, I'll go to like the national center or whatever.
And like, it's we like don't a 2-hour drive away.
Like we don't have that. So like Red Bull's basically like my kind of like support network, I suppose, in Europe.
Oh, that's nice.
And then there's also like the fun stuff, like going to the Formula One and doing all that.
Oh yeah. How easy is it to go to the Formula One stuff?
I don't know. I've only been to the one in Melbourne because we had like a New Zealand Australian like athlete summit there in April for the Formula One there, which was pretty epic.
Oh, that's cool. Cause like, have you really tried to milk it? Have you really tried to be like, I want to meet so and so, or I want to go to this event?
I haven't. No, I haven't.
Come on.
I should. I was like, so we were getting at the Formula One in Melbourne, we were getting a photo with like Max Verstappen and Daniel Ricciardo and Checo. And I was like, I'm going to go talk to them. They came over and I was like, I've never been so starstruck in my life. I literally froze. I was like, and I didn't say hi.
You just walked up to them and looked at them and laughed.
I was like, yeah, no, it was pretty embarrassing. But, yeah, no, it's pretty cool. And that's actually the cool thing about Red Bull is also like the other athletes that you meet, like the connection, like, you know, like I know like all the other New Zealand, at least New Zealand athletes really well, that are all on Red Bull because we do like cool stuff together throughout the year. And then I got to meet like all the Australian ones at like that, like the summit we had in April, which was really cool. So it's like kind of networking with the other Red Bull athletes is really cool. That's quite a special part of like being on, under the Red Bull brand, I think.
Yeah. That's cool. That's really cool. Another question I have for you, which is like, I was riding up the lift with some kid. I don't mean to say that like some kid, but like someone at a ski camp I was part of this summer. And they said that you have to ask this question on the podcast. How do you visualize? Is it like when you're visualizing the course, you like you've inspected, you're doing your race run or you're in your head, do you see yourself skiing? Do you see through your eyes? And are you seeing or are you just feeling? Like, how, like what's the scene like?
Oh, it's definitely a POV for me.
Like POV, like through your own
through
eyes.
Through my own eyes.
Yeah.
And I think what I'm just seeing is like the course and the terrain. I don't know if I'm really like, I don't know if I'm like feeling.
Are you feeling the skiing or are you just seeing?
I think I'm just seeing. I don't think I'm feeling.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm, I think I'm just kind of saying what's happening. what do you do?
Well, I thought about it.
Are you feeling? Like?
Sometimes, I think sometimes I'm feeling. Like sometimes when I'm like, oh, like I really.
Gate.
I definitely don't visualize the gate pain. but like
around.
You see those people who do the crazy visualizations. You're like, whoa, calm down.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Just relax.
I think it depends. But yeah, I think it's very visual for me, but I think it's also.
So you POV or are you seeing yourself?
I think it's POV.
Yeah. Sounds unsure.
POV, just a ski racer.
Day in the life.
Yeah, day in the life. get ready with me. So what are your like visions for like after ski racing? Do you ever think about it? Even though you're only 21, you have a long career ahead of you, but like, is you ever like, oh, like I want to make sure I do that. Like I have this bucket list going in my head, not to keep bringing it back to myself, but just, I'm sorry to the listeners that I always bring myself into this, but it's just how I relate.
Yeah. It's so much more interesting hearing.
Like, do you have a bucket list of like, oh, I'll do that once I'm done skiing. Like, oh, I'll go on a summer vacation there, or this is the job I want, or this is the things I want to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I've like never really sure like what industry like I'd always like end up in like after ski racing. Like, I'm not sure if I'd stay in the ski industry or if I'd go do something like completely different. I think I'd for sure give myself like a couple years of like nonstop summer. Just like chasing the summers, like doing like the summers in like the southern hemisphere and then going to like the summers in the northern hemisphere as well. But I'm not sure. I think it'd be cool. I mean, I haven't like thought about it too much, which is maybe I should be, but
you don't need to.
Yeah, just kind of, I don't know. I'd like to, you know, probably travel a bit more for like for fun and like go to some warmer places for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not sure. I think it'd be cool to like, in some way still have like an impact on like sport here and like skiing in New Zealand, like in long term, seeing what you can do to like really like kind of grow it more as like as much as it can be.
Definitely.
I think that'd be cool. I'd still like to be like involved and help out.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Are you kind of like with your competitiveness, do you think that you'll always kind of need a competition, or do you think once you kind of get older, you'll be like, I don't need to like work as hard or grind as much or compete as much, or you think you'll be like playing pickleball at 50, like, let's go.
I think for sure. I feel like I'd always need that kind of competitive something.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe I'd like take up doing like marathons or something. And then I'm like, oh, I actually hate running. So like,
find something else.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know, maybe something else. But I think I'd always, I don't know if I'd need to like, you know, be competing on like the world stage as like I'm older, but I think I'd always need to have something going for me that was like stimulating me and like challenging me, in a certain way. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. So as we wrap up here, what can people expect from Allison Robin Alice Robinson this winter in terms of like what races you'll be doing, kind of what you'll be shooting for, how your skiing's feeling?
Yeah, so this year I'm focusing mainly on like GS and Super G, so I kind of want to get back in like top five in GS, and then kind of be pushing for like the top five, top seven in Super G. I've probably like the last, it's actually funny because the last couple of years I've probably done better in Super G than GS, which is a bit like interesting.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to get my GS like back to like really top level. But I still think I can be really competitive in Super G as well. So I want to do that. And then I'm going to be like chipping away at the downhill and just picking and choosing a few to do.
Okay. So not the whole downhill schedule.
Not the whole downhill schedule. Like I won't do like the ones in Chivinia in November. Focus more on getting ready for like the GS races in North America, but it's gonna be good. I'm excited. I'm pretty motivated this year, so
nice.
Be good one.
Nice.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, I love that. I always give my guests space at the end to say whatever they want, whether they want to, you want to shout out people or like thank your sponsors or. I mean, I guess we should acknowledge the third person in the room. one of your friends is here, and do you like, I don't know if you have any questions for Alice. Okay, I'll give you the microphone.
Hey guys, welcome back to Call Him Jimmy. oh, sorry. Hi, I'm Sophie Mann. I am also an alpine skier. I'm from Australia, though, even though Alice is low-key an Aussie at heart. She's from Sydney, but I'm from Melbourne, so we're different. Okay, Alice, I have a question for you. It's really, really deep, so think really deeply about this.
Okay.
Out of Coca-Cola, Coke Zero and Diet Coke, what's it gonna be?
I don't drink Coke. I only drink Red Bull.
Lies, fake news.
That is not getting put in.
That's hard. That's hard hitting journalism by Sophie there. No, really, you don't drink any Coke.
Never.
Red Bull only. Oh, hypothetical. Okay, yeah. Hypothetically.
Yeah. Oh. Only Red Bull.
Only Red Bull.
Don't
wow.
drink water.
It's true. Don't even drink water. Yeah, nice. All right, the interview is falling off the rails. We're going to end it here. But I always give my guest space at the end to shout someone out, say whatever you want, really. So okay, the floor is yours.
Well, thanks, Jimmy, for having me on your podcast. It's been really fun. It's been cool to watch you do so well in New Zealand.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks to the sponsors for all the support. And yeah, That's about it.
Cool. Is there like, can people, if they want to learn more about supporting New Zealand skiing or something, is there like a good place to go? Can they follow like what, Coronet Peak or Queenstown or something?
Follow Snow Sports New Zealand.
Yeah.
Get around it.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Cool. Thanks for being on Arc City.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I've got a couple of headlines for you guys, all taken from skiinghistory.org. And again, they don't pay me to talk about them. I just love the site and the journal. So subscribe if you want to. First headline, FIS has confirmed plans to launch a new major event called the FIS Games, possibly in 2028. So it will include all of the FIS disciplines like freestyle and moguls and everything that FIS covers. At least that's my understanding of it. And they'll hold it in those years that don't have world championships and Olympics. I guess it's just FIS trying to do more FIS things. I don't know if they'll have grass skiing in it, though. I think that probably won't happen. They'll announce the choice for their host city in June 2024, so a little less than a year from now. FIS also plans to take over all TV rights in 2026, which is when all of the contracts with national ski associations expire. Remember, the ski associations of each country were the ones with the rights to their broadcasting of their own home World Cups. So now it'll be centralized. Hopefully FIS doesn't bungle this and they'll actually do it correctly, and we'll all be able to stream from one FIS platform, and hopefully the NSAs will still get paid, and we won't have to have three different streaming services anymore, and we'll just have to wait until 2026 to see. The Alpine World Cup season will also introduce a new team combined event at Kitzbühel a day before the Hahnenkamm downhill. So each two-man team will consist of a downhill specialist and a slalom specialist, with a maximum of four teams per nation. So each nation will come up with a bunch of duos. And the top finishing duos will receive World Cup points valid for their specialties and for the overall. So it's legit. Should be kind of fun to watch. The World Cup finals at Saalbach will be scheduled over two weekends as opposed to five consecutive days. Not a huge change, but I guess it's for money and broadcasting. And then Saalbach is also the site of the next Alpine World Championships in February 2025. And Crans-Montana is lined up for 2027. And lastly, FIS has taken some flack from environmental organizations, notably Protect Our Winters, which is POW, and Greenpeace. And accordingly, in May, FIS hired a new sustainability director. Her name is Susanna Zief, and she's an environmental sociologist with 20 years of experience in the field. So, you know, I guess they're making an effort. That's good. We'll see what that effort is. But yeah. Those are our headlines. So a few things before we go. Firstly, a sincere apology to everyone who emailed me after the last episode in the end of the winter and said, yes, we want summer podcasts. And I emailed back to every one of them. It will probably happen. I'm really sorry it didn't happen. I'll be in Europe all year, and so I'm hoping to do a lot more in-person interviews with the stars of the show over there, so stay tuned for that. And I've promised Ski Racing Media, I want to say 8 episodes we agreed on, at least. So don't worry, they will come, and we'll make it happen. And I've already recorded next episode, so it should come out relatively soon. Until then, dream of snow. If you're on a glacier or in New Zealand, Chile, Argentina, make some arcs for all of us. And yeah, I'm Jimmy Krupka, and thank you for visiting Arc City.